Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Appreciate the opportunity and appreciate Pastor's kind words. It's been a joy working with Pastor, under Pastor, and it's a privilege to be here tonight. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. I'm going to read this passage and give a short message on a word of thanksgiving and a particular man here that we'll focus upon this message tonight. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. One leper returned. One man of those 10 that were healed returned to give thanks and to glorify God. Are we thankful tonight? Why should we be thankful? Well, I believe in this passage we can see 3 important principles of why we should be thankful, or 3 principles of thanksgiving. First of all, the desperate need of those who should be thankful. The desperate need of those who should be thankful. These men were lepers. They were lepers. Leprosy was an incurable disease. I did not do enough research to know if there is a cure today for leprosy. To my knowledge, there is not, though we don't know of the leprosy, though we don't see the disease as often today. It is in some places around the world, but you don't hear about it nearly as much as we read about it in the Bible. I don't know if there is a cure, but at the time that the Bible was written, in Bible times, there was no cure for leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease that ultimately affected the nerve endings. It would destroy the ability for a person to feel on their extremities, their fingers and their arms, their toes. People would literally, because they would lose feeling, as this disease would destroy their bodies, they would lose feeling in their nerve endings. They would literally rub their limbs, their extremities off. The disease destroyed from within, and it would destroy from without. The Hebrew word means smiting or a stroke. The Hebrew word for leprosy means to smite or to stroke. Because the disease was regarded as a direct providential infliction. Because of the examples of Miriam and Gehazi and Uzziah, who were struck with leprosy as a punishment from God for their sin. So leprosy in the Jewish rabbinical tradition, leprosy became the most dreaded disease. And it was a disease that by the Jewish rabbinical tradition was always the direct result of sin. It was always the direct result of sin. So that's what was ingrained in the minds and the hearts of the people. In the days of the Bible, in the days of the Gospels, these men were outcasts to society because of their disease, but also because they were considered to be spiritually incapable or unqualified because of their disease. They were being punished. They were under the judgment of God, and the leprosy was the result of their sin. And so they were not just physically believing they could not be cured, But they also believed that spiritually they could not be cured. They were in a desperate situation. They had a desperate need. They were living outside the camp, outside the city. They were beggars. They had no way of supporting themselves except as people would have enough compassion upon them to cast a few coins their way. They had sores on their body. They were despicable to look at. People, as they would pass by, the lepers had to stand afar off. And you see that here in Luke 17 and verse 12. They stood afar off. And as people would walk by, they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" So people would look at them and avoid them. Leprosy parallels the destructive nature of sin. Leprosy was, and I quote, "the outward and visible sign of the innermost spiritual corruption. A meat emblem in its small beginnings, its gradual spread, its internal disfigurement, its dissolution, little by little, of the whole body, of that which corrupts and degrades and defiles man's inner nature, and renders him unmeet to enter the presence of a pure and holy God." Leprosy is often used as an illustration of sin and the devastating effects of sin. They're so parallel. I remember in the streets of Nairobi in Kenya, walking along the street there, and it was not uncommon for there to be people begging. And I remember a family laid out blankets or towels, and they were sitting there. And as we walked by them, I saw the putrid sores on their body. And parts of their limbs, their extremities missing. I don't know exactly if they had leprosy, but it was very possible that's what they were afflicted with. And it made me think of Bible times and how it must have been for Jesus to walk the roads, and how people were along the side of the road begging. As I was preparing this message, I thought of that family and I thought of how they had no hope except for what little bit of money they would get as people would throw some shillings their way. And I think of the spiritual parallel, the desperate need that each of us have because of our sinful condition, because of our spiritual leprosy. We all have a desperate need because we're all sinners by nature, by birth, and by action, by choice. The devastating effects of leprosy mirror the effects of sin. And it's a picture of the devastating effects that sin has on our lives. You see, leprosy not only affects internally in eating away the flesh, but as it desensitizes the body and numbs the nerve endings, and as people bump into things and they don't feel pain, eventually those extremities begin to rub off or fall off. And so there is an inward corruption and there's an outward corruption or destruction. And sin defiles from within and destroys us from within, but it also desensitizes us to that which will harm us from without as we get involved in sin. And we go deeper into it. And it begins with that toehold or that foothold. And eventually it's a stronghold and then it's a stranglehold. And what we once thought was evil and wicked, now it's not so bad anymore. And the sin is not only destroying us within, but is desensitizing us to that which will destroy us from without. James 1 and verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, Neither tempteth he any man, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We see the progressive downward nature of sin. See, we all have a desperate need. We have a sin problem that plagues us. And for us to be truly thankful tonight, I think we have to see what God has saved us from. We have to see the depravity of our own hearts. That our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. When we lose sight of our sinfulness, when we fail to see ourselves as spiritual lepers, beggars, in need of God's mercy, I think when we lose sight of that, we cease to be thankful. Paul never lost sight of his salvation. I'm thankful for Pastor and how often he mentions how he was gloriously saved when he was 24 years of age. I appreciate how he mentions that frequently, because he's never gotten over the fact that he was a hellbound sinner. And though you were saved at 4 or you were saved at 44, it's the same grace of God that saves you. We're all desperately needy. We're all beggars for God's mercy. The lepers stood afar off. They were separated from society. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Even as children of God, as believers in God's family, our sin will cause us to break fellowship with our God, and He yearns for that fellowship to be restored. As we've been studying the book of Jonah in our adult Bible study classes, God was reaching out for Jonah and chastening him to bring him back because he loved him. Because he wanted that sweet fellowship again. We need to be thankful tonight that God did not leave us without a cure, without an answer, without hope. Not only do we see the desperate need of those who should be thankful, but we see, secondly, the divine intervention on the part of those who should be thankful. Thankfully, Christ had compassion on these men. They cried from afar off and they lifted up their voices in verse 13. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. He required them to exercise faith on their part. Christ's compassion is seen even in verse number 11 because he went through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Samaria was a place, a region that the Jews did not go. They hated the Samaritans. But Christ crossed all those prejudices. He put all those aside. He crossed every ethnic line, every racial line. He crossed all those to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, His own gospel. And he went through Samaria and he knew there were 10 men there who needed to be healed. Who needed Him, not just physically, but spiritually. And Christ had compassion on them, and praise be to God who had compassion on us. In our desperate need, He divinely intervened and saved us from our sin. He told them to show themselves to the priest. He did not say, be ye healed. He didn't hit them in the forehead and they fell over and convulsed. There was no stage or choreography with shining lights on a platform. He was in a place that most Jews would not even go. And he had compassion on men who most people wouldn't even want to look at, much less come near. But Christ loved them. And He saw them in their desperate need. And He saw me at the age of 7 and saved me. And He's delivered us as children of God from our sin. He said, show yourselves to the priest. They had to act upon the words of Christ. And as they left to go to the priest, it says in verse number 14, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They acted in obedience upon the words of Christ. And though they had no visible signs of assurance when they turned to go, because Christ had not healed them yet, had they? See, they were going to the priest to show that they were healed. But when they turned to walk to the priest, there were no signs of healing yet. They had to simply go in faith, believing. Christ had not plainly even told them that they would be healed. He simply said, go. And they stepped out in faith and they were healed. The sinner needs to call upon Christ in saving faith, recognizing his desperate condition and complete inability to save himself. The saint needs to live obedient to the words of Christ. And though there may not be visible signs of how or when, he can believe that God will. Because the just live by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we serve the same God. We don't know how, we don't know when that building is going to be built. But it will be built. In God's plan, in God's time. What are we called to do? Be obedient. And live by faith, believing, knowing that God will divinely intervene in His perfect time and plan. We must have the faith to obey, to say no to the temptation, to ask for forgiveness even when it means confronting someone and it's hard to admit to our own failure, our own sin. It may mean saying no to a child who wants their way and you know it's not the right way, but you know that for them to grow up to serve the Lord, you have to tell them no. And it may mean taking them to the room for chastening. It may mean dragging them out of bed when they don't feel like getting out of bed. It takes faith to obey, to be faithful to church, to live right, to sacrifice, to serve, to love one another. To love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. That takes faith every day. And we must live by faith. We've seen the desperate need of those who should be thankful, the divine intervention on the part of those who should be thankful. And thirdly tonight, quickly, the debt of gratitude expressed by the one who was truly thankful. One leper returns. One of them, verse 15 says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Can you imagine what he said? We're not told specifically what he said, but can you picture in his mind? He's walking down the road. He looks over and the disease is gone. Maybe he had been stumbling. Maybe he had been dragging a foot. I don't know what his exact condition was. He was at least able to walk. But he looked down and there were no more white scales. That limb, that leg, that arm, whatever it was, it was well. The disease was gone. And did he continue to the priest? Did he continue on to the temple? That was what the law required, right? And that was eventually where he would go. Because I believe this man eventually obeyed and went fully and fulfilled the law and went and showed himself to the priest and offered the sacrifices. I believe he did. But the first thing that occurred to his mind as he dragged that foot and he put it down and he realized he's healed. The first thing that came to his mind was what? To turn and go back to Jesus Christ. And with a loud voice, it says, he glorified God and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. I think that we as believers need to be doing that more. falling down on our faces before a holy God and giving glory to Him for what He has done and for who He is and what He is doing and will do. Too often we are trying to do things ourselves. We're trying to figure out our way. And hopefully God will eventually figure out that we need to be doing it our way. And He'll come along. No. That stinking thinking, as Pastor often tells us. It's about conforming our lives to God's will and God's way. The debt of gratitude, he humbly fell and praised the Lord. Matthew Henry says, those that have received mercy from God should publish it to others, that they may praise God too and may be encouraged by their experiences to trust in Him. Commentator Albert Barnes says, this man, sensible of the power of God and grateful for His mercies, returned to express his gratitude to God for His goodness. Instead of obeying at once the letter of the command, he first expressed his thanks to God and to His great benefactor. He poured out his thanks to God and gave Him praise for His wonderful recovery. And he goes on to say, and again I quote, the first duty of sinners, after they have been forgiven and have the hope of eternal life, is to prostrate themselves at the feet of their great benefactor and to consecrate themselves to His service. We need to be on the altar every day. Every day. Proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're conformed to it. And we're dedicated to fulfill it. Albert Barnes continues, then let them go. After they've consecrated themselves to His service, then let them go and show to others the evidence that they are cleansed. Let them go and mingle like a restored leper with their families and friends and show by the purity and holiness of their lives how great is the mercy that has cleansed them. Yes, our gratitude, it needs to be expressed in words, but it is best expressed in our acts of obedience and our acts of love and sacrifice for our Lord. Renewed sinners, while their hearts overflow with gratitude to Jesus, express that gratitude by obeying God and by engaging in the appropriate duties of their calling and of religion. I close with this. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, Paul put it this way. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The desperate need of those who should be thankful. The divine intervention on the part of those who should be thankful. And then the debt of gratitude expressed by the one who was truly thankful. We have a debt of gratitude. Let's give God the praise and the glory and honor His name by our words and by our lives.